Good morning. And Joshua, where's Joshua? Joshua, welcome home. Did you have a good vacation by your grandparents in Tennessee? That's great. Joshua spent a long time by his grandparents. And I'm happy that you're back, though, Joshua. I missed you. In Sunday morning, we've been studying our spiritual battle. And some good stuff has come up. And I decided that since many of you don't come Sunday morning to the Bible class, it'd be good if I brought up this topic for you this morning. My sermon topic is the battle for your soul. And the Bible verse was read by Mike, so I won't read it again, but it's Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Can someone fight your spiritual battle for you? No. And it's interesting that Paul chose a war to describe our daily lives, isn't it? When Paul was thinking of soldiers, what soldiers would you think Paul was thinking about? Roman soldiers. Roman soldiers, that's true. In war, now, I'd never been in a war. I was too young for Vietnam and then too old for the rest. So I've never been in war. Some of you might have, I don't know. But war in the Roman days and in those older days was different, wasn't it? They didn't shoot artillery, you know, usually 3-4 miles and not ever see what happens. Roman soldiers, when they fought, how'd they fight? Hand to hand. It doesn't get any more personal than that, does it? And Paul says, basically, you are in a hand-to-hand combat with Satan. Our spiritual fight for our souls and the souls of our children, the souls of our loved ones, isn't it? Sometimes we do fight alone. But do you realize most times we don't have to fight alone? We are a church and we fight our battles together. The Romans had something interesting. Their shields could lock into each other. They could lock them in up front and they could lock them on up top. I'm not sure what they called that formation. They could march into battle, being protected from the front, the sides, and up top. You could shoot your arrows all you wanted. They wouldn't penetrate their shields. Likewise, brothers and sisters, your fight does not have to be alone. We are here to help each other, to lock shields, so to speak, that we can defeat the evil one. If you are not ready to fight, who's going to win? Satan. If you do not wish to fight, who's going to win? Satan. I don't know what we think about Satan. Is he dumb? You know, Satan is, he might try frontal attacks, but sneak attacks are much better. Satan is watching you. Some people say Satan doesn't attend church. I think he comes by to see who's not here. I think he comes by to see who's not paying attention. And then he knows what? I know who I can attack. He watches our lives, and he's going to know your weaknesses. I mean, it's kind of dumb to attack the strength, isn't it? To attack weaknesses. Well, that's what most generals seek, isn't it? The weakness of their enemy. Not only that, most of the best generals, before they go into battle, what do they want to know? Enemy positions, but not only that. Who's in charge? And then they get all the information they can on that general to know, does he have favorite war tactics? Does he have favorite ways to position his troops? You look for his weakness. Satan looks for ours. Brothers and sisters, in the Bible, we can look for Satan's. If we know something about Satan, if we know something about his tactics, we can defend and fight against Satan. Satan has no qualms about cheating. He has no qualms about lying. Satan will use every dirty trick in the book. We might think it hitting below the waist. Satan looks at it as a way to win. Satan is strong. He's a heavenly being, or had been till he was cast out. That means he is much stronger than us alone, isn't he? We should always remember we have someone stronger than Satan, who is not only our Savior, but has sent his Spirit to live within us. We are not to fight Satan alone. This spiritual battle is not just for our very life here on earth. Our spiritual battle is for our soul and its eternal destination. If you are not aware that you are at war, you will surely lose. Satan wants to destroy your soul. The Apostle Paul was particularly interested that people believe and hold to the truth that is found in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 2 through 4. But we have turned away from secret and shameful ways. We use no trickery, and we do not change the teaching of God. We teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we are. Then they can know in their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight. If the good news that we preach is hidden, it is hidden only to those who are lost. The devil who rules this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news about the glory of Christ, who is exactly like God. The devil wishes to blind you to the truth. Jesus said he was a liar and has been a liar from the beginning. Satan does not want you to know how to be saved. He does not want you to stay saved. He wants people to leave the Word, to leave the truth of the Bible. So, be aware. Satan, the father of all liars, knows how to twist and how to tamper with the Bible. To tamper with the Word of God is to distort it. Makes it false, it makes it deceptive. The goal of tampering with the Word of God is so that you will not believe it or believe something that is false. Satan is cunning, and he is underhanded, and he is not afraid of tampering with the Word of God. Through Scripture, we can learn of Satan's schemes and his tricks and the pattern that he has followed from the Garden of Eden onward. We can, brothers and sisters, prepare to fight against Satan. Satan loves to question God. He loves to create doubt in our minds. In the Garden of Eden, when the serpent appeared to Eve, he starts off with a question. Did God really say that you must not eat fruit from any tree in the garden? Do you think Satan knew what God had said? What's his purpose with this question? To mislead, to cause doubt, to make you think maybe God has a hidden agenda. Maybe he's trying to hold me down. Maybe he doesn't want me to meet my full potential. Doubt. Doubt is the start of disobedience. Doubt is always the first step to apostasy. The devil will give you all the reasons you want not to believe or do the will of God. He wants you to forget about doing things God's way. Satan's big effort is think for yourselves. You know what is best for you. You know yourself the best. By getting you self-focused, Satan has already won a major battle, hasn't he? When you start doubting that God wants your best. Secondly, Satan contradicts the Word of God. When Eve told Satan that she would die if she ate of the fruit, you know what Satan said? You will not die. Brothers, that's a downright lie, isn't it? Satan has no qualms about lying. Satan wants you to place his confidence in him. He claims that God has deceived you. That he knows, he the devil knows what is truly right. God knows, this is what Satan said, God knows that if you eat the fruit from the tree, you will learn about good and evil, and you will be like God. And this desire to know his secrets and to be one of the elite, hey, I can be like God, leads a soul down the path of perdition, destruction. The devil appeals to the worst in people. He appeals to their flesh. He appeals to the lust of their eyes. He appeals to their pride. He makes them feel that God is holding them down. I know many of you don't like the Star Wars series, but the evil emperor, before he became the emperor, talking to the young Anakin, who would become Darth Vader, this great evil person, cast doubt that his group of people that were fighting for good, they weren't really fighting for good. And you know, one time Anakin said this, "All you're doing is holding me down. You know I can do more. You know I'm stronger. You're just trying to hold me down." That's what Satan tries to do, isn't it? He tries to make you believe that God is just holding you down, not letting you reach your full potential. He does this by appealing to your pride, to your flesh, and to the lust of your eyes. Jesus told some Jewish leaders, this was in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, "You belong to your father the devil, and you want to do what he wants. He was a murderer from the beginning and was against the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he shows what he is really like because he is a liar and the father of lies." You know what makes a liar a good liar? ?98% of what Satan says is true. But 2% is downright lie. You ever thought about rat poisoning? Now good, a rat can't read the box. He doesn't know what's in there. But rat poison is 98% cornmeal. It's only 2% poison. But what happens to the rat when he eats it? He dies. 98% of what's in there is good for the rat. 2% is poison, and it kills him. And Satan knows this is true about truth. If I tell the truth and only lie just a little bit, he can slowly lead us away, can he? As we believe more and more that is false. Because you know how rat poisoning works? The rats have to keep eating the poison. Have to keep eating and eating and eating, and the poison builds up within inside of them, and then they die. They just don't eat the poison once and die. The rat has to keep coming back and eating of that. And the poison builds up within inside the rat's body and then dies. Probably more than you wanted to know, but it's the same with Satan's lies. If you start listening, at first you think, that makes a lot of sense. Well, most of it's true. But the more you listen to Satan, the more of the lies build up in you to the point where you die spiritually. It's what Satan wants. Satan will tell you what he thinks you want to hear. Everybody wants to hear what they want to hear, don't they? If you go to a doctor, you don't want to hear sometimes the truth. Isn't that true? But Satan tells you exactly what you want to hear. If you want to hear it's okay to live immorally, Satan will tell you that. Oh, it's okay. If you want to think it's okay to kill someone, Satan's going to tell you, hey, it's okay. He wants you to hear what you want. And remember what Paul said? The time is going to come when you're going to hear things that itch your ear. Meaning what? You're going to hear what you want to hear. And they're going to lead you away. Eve, I know you ladies don't like this part. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. But Adam did something, in my opinion, even worse. Knowing it was wrong, not being deceived, he followed his wife. When you get down to it, who did the worst? The one that was deceived or the one willingly who walked into it? Satan likes to turn things upside down. He likes to make evil sound good and likes to make good sound evil. Isaiah the prophet could have been speaking about today. In Isaiah 5 verse 20, he said, "How terrible it will be for people who call good things bad and bad things good, who think darkness is light and light is darkness, who think sour is sweet and sweet is sour." He could have been talking about our culture, couldn't he? Have you ever noticed that in our society that many of the things that God has called evil, our society calls good? And the things that God calls righteous, our society likes to call them ugly, conceited, hypocritical, maybe boring. That's Satan at work. Third, Satan produces an alternate version of truth. Genesis 3:5. God knows that if you eat from that tree, the fruit of from that tree, you will learn about good and evil, and you will be like God. Now part of that's true, isn't it? Did Adam and Eve learn about good and evil? But did they become like God? Partially yes, partially no. They became like God in the fact that they could decide what was, in their opinion, good and evil. But it doesn't make what they decide as good and what they decide as evil as being correct, does it? Part truth, part lie. Satan's strategy is to get people to rely upon him for truth and for progress, and not to rely upon the Word of God. Fourth, Satan despises and persecutes anyone who exposes him. Jesus explained it this way. This was John 3:19-20. They are judged by this fact. The light has come into the world, but they did not want light. They wanted darkness because they were doing evil things. All who do evil hate the light and will not come to the light because it will show all the evil things they do. No one likes to have their wrongdoings shown up, do they? It shames us, and it should. And so, Satan attacked Jesus to destroy Jesus. He didn't want the light in the world. And he will attack and try to destroy all those who preach the truth, who point out sin and wrong in this life. You will see that the devil loves to put down the church. He loves to put down the truth of the Bible. Peter, in 1 Peter 4:14, said, "When people insult you because you follow Christ, you are blessed. Because the glorious Spirit, the Spirit of God, is with you. Jesus had warned them, if they hated me, what are they going to do to you? They're going to hate you. We need to be aware of that. Satan is a bully. If you won't follow after him, and when he asks nicely, he will turn on you and try to bully you. But be aware, God sees everything. And God does care. Fifthly, Satan can pretend to be holy. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15. Paul talking about some of the false workers. Such men are not true apostles, but are workers who lie. They change themselves to look like apostles of Christ. This does not surprise us. Even Satan changes himself to look like an angel of light. So it does not surprise us if Satan's servants also make themselves to look like servants who work for what is right. But in the end, they will be punished for what they do. Not only Satan can appear holy, but his servants. But as Paul says, they will be punished for what they do. In order to deceive Christians and lead them into alternate churches and religions, the devil pretends to be their Christian leader. Weren't we warned that even in the church, men could arise, leaders that would lead you away? Wolves in sheep's clothing, so to speak? With high-sounding phrases, he tries to persuade people that Christianity is like a smorgasbord. You can choose what you want and leave the rest alone. Now, if you go to a restaurant, that's a nice way to have it, to pick the food you like, but it doesn't work with the Word of God, does it? You can't pick and choose what you want and don't want from the Word of God. And that's what Satan tries to make you do. Brethren, when someone leads you away from the Bible, they are doing the devil's work. This is the Word of God. And if what any man or woman says differs from what you read, believe this. He is the one who provides heresies and doctrines that divide the church. If you listen to the devil, you will come to believe that there is no such thing as heresy. That everybody's views are good and right. But when you get away from the Bible, you get away from the truth. When you get away from the truth, you are no longer following God's will, but your own. If you ignore God's way, Jesus says, it's like building a house upon sand. You cannot expect everything to be right between you and God if you ignore the truth of His Word. Eve was deceived. She lost sight of God, and she did that which she wanted. And if we are deceived, one of the things that happens to us is that we lose sight of God Almighty, and then we begin to do what we want to do, and not what God has commanded. And if we do that, we must face the consequence of our sin. Number six, Satan likes to prey on the weak and the ignorant. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, Peter says, control yourselves and be careful. The devil, your enemy, goes around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to eat. Refuse to give in to him by standing strong in your faith. You know that your Christian family all over the world is having the same kinds of suffering. Satan is looking for gullible people who will fall prey to his immoral lifestyle and who will learn to disobey God. He uses false prophets, false churches, an alternative to the truth. He whispers to our conscience that we can sin, that we can do what we want, that we will not be hurt if we sin. No matter how attractive or how lovely Satan's message is, the devil's goal is our spiritual death. We learned this morning that one of his names means destruction. He does not mean us good. He will that we are destroyed. He wants to hurt God. He can't hurt God, but he can hurt us and thereby hurt God, and that he's hurting his people. That is why we must resist him and remain firm in our faith. We need to learn to pay attention to what the Bible says. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and the cross. God has not left us alone in our fight with the devil. In Ephesians, let's read verses 13 through 18 again. That is why you need to put on God's full armor. Then on the day of evil, you will be able to stand strong. And when you have finished the whole fight, you will still be standing. So stand strong with the belt of truth tied around your waist. The belt of truth. What does the belt do? It holds your clothes on, doesn't it? Be an ugly sight if I took off my belt. These pants are a little bit big, and if I move too much, they have at home fallen straight down. You wouldn't want to see that. It's not a pretty sight. A belt holds together the clothes. It holds together and helps. It's really one of the centerpieces of the Roman uniform. Also, the belt was where you put the sword. So the belt of truth. Truth! Are we truthful? You know, to be truthful means that we Christians need to learn to speak the truth. We need to learn not to lie. How can Satan attack us if we always tell the truth? Ah, he might say, didn't Charlie last week say this? Well, let me show you, Charlie was lying. And then he has a way to attack, doesn't he? Christians need to learn to speak the truth, to live in truth, and not give Satan a foothold. We are to wear truth. You know, Paul said the same thing. Tell those who lie to start being truthful. Don't lie to one another. Don't lie to your neighbor. Tell the truth. And then what should we wear as a breastplate? Righteousness. Righteousness could also be translated right living. If you live right according to the will of God, Satan can't accuse you, can he? If you tell the truth and if you live right, you've got a mighty weapon against Satan. Well, really, it's a defensive weapon, isn't it? To live right. And we need to also think of it this way. Whose righteousness do we wear as Christians? The righteousness of Christ, our Savior. He was truly righteous. No matter how righteous we live and right we live, we're not going to be perfect, JC, are we? But Jesus was. If we live right and wear the righteousness of Christ, Satan's darts cannot attack us. We are protected with our breastplate. And then as we can continue looking, he says, on your feet you should wear the good news of peace to help keep you strong. You know, ever thought about the importance of a good pair of shoes? Have you ever been somewhere and you had flat shoes and you step on a wet floor? What happens? You slide. I usually slide right on my rear end. And usually the floor is wet. But good shoes are important. We need a good foundation to stand on, don't we? And what better foundation than the gospel of peace? The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's a solid foundation. If we're standing firmly on it, we're not going to slip and slide, are we? We're going to be able to stand and hold our ground. The Roman sandals, and I don't know much about Roman sandals. I read this in a book. So it said they had what they called hobnails that would kind of stick down out of the shoe at the bottom so that the Roman soldier, when he planted his foot, part of that nail did what? It went into the ground that he could stand firm. That's what the gospel is for us, the gospel of peace. And if a soldier panicked, what might a panicked soldier do? He might turn and run. But what is the gospel we're bringing? The gospel of peace. The peace of God that passes understanding does what? It calms the heart. It gives us the ability to stand firm even though we're scared. Never believe that a soldier never had fear. I'm sure most soldiers do. But the peace to know that God is with us helps us to stand firm and not to run, not to slip and slide, but to stand firm on the gospel. And then it says, don't forget to use your shield of faith. The Roman shield was 4 foot long, 2 feet wide. It could interlock with your buddy. It was made of wood with leather. And what was the shield mostly used for? To do what? To block arrows, to block other people's swords. You would hold it up and they'd hit that shield. That's what our faith is. We may not understand every little bit of the Bible, but what can we know? It's truth. It's from God. And that helps us to resist doubt. The other little darts that Satan sends. We know that God's word is true and we can stand firm if the Bible says it and teaches it. We have our faith that stops the burning arrows of the evil one. And then it says, accept God's salvation as your helmet. You ever much thought about that? The head. If I hit you on the head, what's going to happen? It's going to hurt, but if I hit you hard enough, you're going to die. It's a weak point, isn't it? And what did he say was the helmet? Salvation. God's salvation. Is God's salvation a sure thing? It is. If we believe that our salvation is sure, then no matter what the devil does to us, we know it's ours. This is also known as hope, isn't it? If you have no hope, what happens? You might even die. You give up. But the hope of salvation keeps us going no matter how rough the battle gets. And then comes the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's the only weapon listed that's made for attacking. That we have listed here. Everything has been defensive. But what do we know about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? It can pierce all the way through to the heart of the matter. It has the truth that pierces the hearts and the souls. What happened when Peter preached at Pentecost? What do we read? It pricked their hearts. What pricked their hearts? The sword of the Spirit. What did Jesus use in the desert to avoid and fight off temptations? Remember his favorite word? It is written. Satan liked to use it too, but Satan misquoted. Jesus quoted correctly. It is written. It is even earlier, Jesus in Matthew 4:4, it is written in the Scriptures, a person does not live by eating only bread, but by everything God says. We need the Word of God in our lives and in our nation. Something else about the sword of God. Is the sword of God there to kill? The sword of God is there to wound that you might be healed. Isn't that amazing? Satan wants to destroy, but the Spirit of God wants to heal. When people start doing what they want instead of listening to the Bible, Satan wins and we lose. But God has not left us alone in our fight. He has not left us alone in what we need to protect ourselves. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What about your soul? Does the devil have a foothold? Or is the Lord and His Word ruling your life? Who is your master this morning? All Jesus asks of us is that we believe in Him, that we repent, that we let ourselves be baptized for the remission of sins, and that we then live for Him, studying His Word and seeking the will of God. Jesus then will save us, allowing us to put on the armor of God that we might one day live with God in heaven. Don't let Satan rule your hearts and your lives. Don't let him rule your loved ones. Come this morning obeying him, standing strong, and if you need to be have your sins washed away, this is the perfect morning to do it. Come as we stand and sing.